Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
To take a stand.
The Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, and all of us hosting. Thank you, thank you. Thank you all near and far for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on this station. I'm your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 31-plus years, none other than in the person of...
Amen. I'm Minister Mildred Townsend.
And together we bring to you the Moments of Inspiration Intercessory Prayer Line Ministry, a prayer line ministry that's especially formulated to help minister to God's people and to impact and empower you, amen, for the times in which that we are now residing in. As Jesus said, if the good man of the house knew what hour the thief was coming, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up into. Brothers and sisters, yes, we are living in the closeness of the hour where the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are all around us. Listen, you can have ostrich mentality if you want to. Amen. You can stick your head in the ground and act as though that this thing does not exist and that, you know what, his grace and mercy is going to see us through. But well, we'll talk about that later on, about the whole idea about what grace and mercy is truly about. But right now, I'm going to ask Minister Mildred, if she so kindly will, to share a scripture with us, and then we're going to go before the throne of grace in prayer.
Amen. John 12, chapter, beginning at the 48th verse, and it reads as this: He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this glorious moment.
Yes,
for
Lord.
We know that it's your goodness once again that we're here today. We just want to thank you for all the things that you have done. Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to give thanks to you once again, knowing that it was our Father that had mercy upon us. Oh, Father, we pray for the bereaved family. In particular, Lord, I'm praying for the Lofton family in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes,
Lord, you know all about it. Lord,
yes,
strengthen them in that time of bereavement. Nobody but you can do it. And bereaved families all over
this
world.
Yes,
Lord, we're lifting them up this moment, knowing that the God of comfort is able to comfort them even now.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus. Praying
Hallelujah.
For everyone with a broken heart today.
Thank
praying
you,
for
Jesus.
Ones, Lord God, that are full of sin,
yes,
knowing
Lord.
That you're the only one can deliver and
yes.
set free before it's too late.
Hallelujah.
Lord, give your people a heart and a desire
thank you, Jesus.
To please you in this end time.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus'
amen.
Name. I see the signs of the judgment. Do y'all see it? I see the signs of God's judgment.
My God.
And you know what the Spirit is saying? Time is running out.
Amen.
Do you hear that, people of God?
Oh, so true.
I see the signs of God's judgment in the land. And time is running out. While you are being pacified, while you are being entertained, while you are being just discombobulated on every side, while you're being distracted, the signs of the coming of the Lord are imminent. They are all around us. And the ostrich mentality that has overtaken the church today needs to be cast out. Amen. When God told Noah that he was going to send rain, the same distracting factor that was operating Minister Mildred back in that day is operating now.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing new about it. Mm-hmm. When Jesus prophesied that destruction would come upon the city of Jerusalem, the same factor was going on. For they were going to the arenas and they were looking at all of the entertainment. The gladiators were fighting and everything was going on. Until the day Jerusalem was burned with fire. Hmm? when God told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because there's nobody righteous in the city. That same destruction was going on. So what did Abraham say? If I can find 50 righteous men. Now, he went on a campaign trying to tell people that God is getting ready to destroy this place, y'all.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find 50.
Jesus.
What are you doing today? What are you trying to find?
My God.
Are you trying to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord? Or are you concerned about marketing this man we call Jesus Christ? A better way to boost my ministerial calling. A better way. Teaming up with folks so that I can go from being just a little mere minister to have the title of apostle behind my name or bishop behind my name. What have we settled for? What has the spirit of delusion now taken us to? I was in a dream. And last night I dreamed that I was visiting at a church. And at this visiting church, they asked me to stand up and share the word of God. And it was a mixed congregation. There was whites and blacks in the church. And as I stood up, one of the other preachers who I think invited me to the church, and it was a lady. She invited me to the church. It was a Caucasian lady invited me to the church. And as she spoke and they began to speak about all of the wonderful, luxurious, materialistic things that God wants us to have, and I sat there and I listened, and she said, now we want Brother Townsend. She didn't say Bishop Townsend. She said Brother Townsend, and I was quite pleased with that. She said, Brother Townsend is going to share some words with us now. And I stood up and I began to just speak in a manner and tone that took me back to what the Word of God said, Minister Mildred. It is now time for the body of Christ to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I said, you know, we've taken the gospel of Jesus Christ and we've just liquidated it and we've watered it down and we've made it to be something of a materialistic value now. And so now we're looking for ways to get people to come to the church. We're looking for ways, and we say now, it's the same product, but we've got to package it differently. And I said, the Holy Ghost don't operate that way. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But now we are finding ways to lift them up. And the same lady who stood up and invited me stood up in the church and started weeping and crying and said, of a truth, this brother has truly bore the witness of Jesus Christ in this place. We should repent of our wrongdoing. And I came out of the dream giving God the praise. Church, what have we sunken to? What have we digressed to? I know we love to say, I'm a work in progress, but the body of Christ, we should have progressed so until, you know what, we should be reaching for souls to come into the kingdom, not because they need monetary blessings, not because, amen, we serve a God of abundance, not because, amen, we need to drive the best cars and live in the best houses, but because Jesus Christ is soon to make his appearance, Minister Mildred.
Amen. Definitely. Jesus is soon to come. And that's why, you know, and I was thinking about our friend that went home to be with the Lord on yesterday. Praise God.
I think you got a caller coming in.
Yes.
Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from at this time? Caller, are you there?
Yes, as I was
All right.
saying, Bishop, I was just thinking about our friend that I went home to be with the Lord on yesterday, just,
uh-huh.
you know, a childhood friend. Amen.
Yes.
Things are just happening, and we can't just act as though these are not signs. You know, people your age and generation that you come up with, and, you know, and, hey, God is speaking, but many people, they're just for a moment, you know, it'll affect them, and the next thing you know, they're going on about their business, haven't forgotten. Amen. But everything that God, you know, allows to happen is for a reason. And we should at least attempt to see what he's saying in this end time. But we're so caught up in what we want. Amen. And we won't even listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Amen. But that time is running out. And we warn and continue to tell others, you know, to get their home in order, get your life in order. Praise God. Everybody just want to do what feels good to them. Amen. But this will get you nowhere. And we have to be, amen, with our mind stayed on Jesus, getting ready, because we're ready to get up out of here. Yes. Amen. Whether individual or collectively, God is coming back. Amen, for his people.
You said something earlier, that, and then I said, Lord, I don't want to forget that, but you said something about people are just living for the moment. Whatever is good for them at the moment, that is what they're taking into accountability, and they're not looking at the long-term effect of what can happen in this life that God has given to us. Amen. I think Moses summed it up this way. He said he would rather suffer the affliction of his people than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. For how long?
For a moment, Bishop. And then it lets you know that, you know, when you get on the devil's side, he'll keep you longer.
Longer
than you want to stay.
Than you want to
and
stay.
And it's going to cost you more than you're willing to pay. Amen. And sometimes it's going to cost you your life. Because when you open up to him,
oh, yes,
and let him come in,
oh yes,
he don't play fair.
No, he never has, never will. And so that's why, brothers and sisters, amen, the clarion call that is going out in the body of Christ, and herein lies the spirit of truth. Every prophet that is not telling you to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a prophet sent of the Lord God. Every pastor, every bishop, every apostle that is not telling you to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is Antichrist and not the Spirit of the living God. This is the reason why we must properly discern the times in which that we are living in. A woman that is getting ready to have a baby knows that her time is restricted to what she needs to be doing. And yes, because many times she has to take care of personal business and has to go play, she knows that the hour of her delivery is close by. That's why she ain't out trying to get on the dance floor and party and juke, because she knows the time of her delivery is near. Jesus told us, we can discern when we look in the sky and see that it is dark and gray, that we're getting ready to have, amen, a thunder shower or a thunderstorm. We can look at the heat and tell that, oh, Lord, it's going to be a scorcher today, just by looking up in the sky and feeling the humidity. And he said, yet, can you not discern the signs of the time that the Lord coming is rapidly approaching us? We're living in times, brothers and sisters. Well, yes, there's been many things, and we thank God for the news, and we thank God for the internet that is displaying so many horrific things that are taking place around us. But Jesus said that these things would take place, and so therefore my mind is not disturbed. When I see the things unfolding around us, when I see the mass killings, my mind is not disturbed. When I see all the horrific things, my mind is not disturbed. Jesus spoke about in the book of Revelation, Minister Mildred, that vials would be poured out upon the earth. And that men would begin to kill themselves, and they would begin, a third of mankind would be killed with the sword. And we understand that when he says the sword, he's merely talking about metal. The translation of that is talking about bullets, lead, or any type of military artillery. This is what this is speaking about. And right within our infrastructure of our own city in Rapides, Paris, are we not seeing devastating things just happening right around us? People are being found dead. Bodies are being found burned in ditches. People of God, does that sound like your prosperity breakthrough is about to come through? No, God is giving us a clarion wake-up call to understand what is going on around us. But in any event, we again thank you for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration. A big shout goes out to our extended church family, the Hilltop Nursing Home. We'll be going there, Minister Mildred, on tomorrow at 9:30. You're certainly invited to come join us. Amen. A shout goes out to all of the Moments of Inspiration ministry, prayer team, and those of you that have partnered with Moments of Inspiration, those that have joined yourself. A big hearty God bless you goes out to all of our congregation of Moments of Inspiration. You know who you are out there, and we thank and praise God for you. Those of you, amen, that are extended family to Moments of Inspiration Ministry, thank and praise God for you equally as well. To all of our big brothers and sisters out there that we've met down through the years, certainly we thank and praise God for you all. Also, we want to invite you to join us at the College Drive Baptist Church, 1400 College Drive in Pineville. We'll be there tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon. Listen, all races, all denominations, all ethnicities are certainly welcome there. Amen. And I prayed and I told the Lord this. I said, Lord, if you bless me to pastor a church, and I know that you've called me to do it, I want it to be just like you said, my house shall be a house of all nations. That means all nationalities are supposed to be. Ain't supposed to be no black church. Ain't supposed to be no Indian church. It's not supposed to be no Korean church. Well, Pastor, that's just because of the language barrier. Well, with God, there is no language barrier. We even see now that even when it comes to national things that are taking place and people that are hearing impaired or speech impaired, don't they have somebody to interpret for them? You see, we've been making too many excuses to keep things separated in the house of God. Ain't no white church, the German church, the African church, the black church, the white church. There's only one church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my black church. He didn't say that. I'll build my white church. He didn't say that. I'll build my Mexican church. He didn't say that. We're supposed to be a church of all nations. That doesn't mean that there won't be different people of different ethnicities clustered in one package. But God is trying to bring fellowship with all of us.
Amen, Bishop. And now we're living in a time, I was just thinking when you was talking earlier, because, you know, I was just thinking, you know, because sin is abound, you know, has abound, you know, the love of many have waxed cold. And we live in a time where sin is just overtaken, and that's why the love of many have waxed cold. Amen.
Oh,
because of this, they rather enjoy sin for a season. You know, they just rather enjoy that than truly seeking the Lord, than knowing that we're living in the last day. Amen. We rather do things that, you know, you see them rather doing things that is conducive to, you know, it will not change the heart of God, because when we're living in a way that God is not pleased with, you know, we're giving over to the flesh. And in this flesh, God will let us know there's no good thing in it. So that's all we want to do, what feels good to it, you know, you just do it.
Here's what's going on. In our quest to be loving and kind, and we should be by all means, in our quest, amen, to win people over into the things of Jesus Christ, and we should, but by the same token, the same love that we have for our children, we have to let them know the consequences that stand behind what we do. Okay? How many innocent children have played with electricity and their life was taken because they didn't understand the detriments of what they were doing? How many little children, because no matter now, and I'm going to share something with you now so that we can understand the truth and magnitude of what's going on, because we've taken the word grace and mercy, and somehow the enemy has infiltrated the word, and he has diluted it and poisoned grace and mercy. That little child that got hold to their parents' weapon and took it and played with it and put it up to their little head and pulled the trigger. You see, their inability to understand how dangerous a thing was still cost them their little life. And what we're clearly trying to tell God's people is that when it comes to God's grace and mercy, please don't misunderstand this. Grace and mercy does not afford us the opportunity to willfully go into sin. And I think that this is where the enemy is getting the edge on a lot of people, because they will take the scriptures such as say, where Jesus had the woman who was the prostitute. And I tell you, he forgave her of her sin. And you see, that's what's wrong with the body. We don't want to forgive. Yes, we do forgive. But after Jesus forgave the prostitute, he didn't start kicking it with her. He didn't start hanging out with the prostitute. As a matter of fact, he told her, go and sin no more. Think about that. Let that marinate just for a second. The Holy Ghost hadn't even failed yet. And yet those of us that say that we are born again, and Jesus tells a woman who had not been filled with the Holy Ghost to go and sin no more. And yet now we say that because, and go to show you how the enemy has taken the scriptures and perverted them, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. That doesn't mean that we can willfully make up our mind to go into sin because we have an advocate. That's just like saying, I got a good lawyer. I can go kill somebody, and I know he's going to get me off. Do you see the similarity? That's not how it goes. As a matter of fact, to those of us that know and don't do, we're still going to be beat, Minister Mildred, with many stripes. Amen? But let me tell you what grace and mercy is. Grace and mercy is that that same rapist, that same murderer, that same killer, that same monster that's out there, God's grace and mercy still allows him to breathe the same air you breathe, feel the same water that God sends upon this earth like you do, is able to walk under the same sunshine that you and I, but the consequences of his actions are recorded and they are marked for judgment. That's what grace and mercy means. Grace and mercy does not mean that we can live how we want to live, do what we want to do, and think that it is acceptable in God. As a matter of fact, this is what the spirit of religion is now putting out there, and that's why the apostles, in after Jesus' ascent back into the throne of God, he had to give us clarity and understanding, Minister Mildred. Minister Mildred, I've got to share this with God's people. Could you go to 1 John? I just want to share this because people think that because we can live any kind of way, and can I tell you something? There is a spirit of deception operating.
We can't live any way.
But there is a, listen, there are preachers preaching it. There are ministers who are up under this falsehood. And to think that we can just,
Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this in their name?
1 John chapter 3.
And I know that God wants us to know that his way is the right way. And we're going to do it. But if you want to pacify this flesh, you know, you're not.
Well, here's what's going on. We're making an excuse. We're forgetting about what the apostle said. In Romans chapter number 6, he said, shall we continue? Look at that. So those that are making the excuse say, it doesn't matter how I live. God is so forgiving. He's so loving. He's so kind. And he is. But there's still consequences behind what we do. God is so loving until, listen, I can't go around picking up rattlesnakes and misunderstand what the scripture says, because he said, you shall take up serpents. And I began to go pick up rattlesnakes and start playing with them. No, I've stepped. You know what I've done? I've perverted the word. And there's a spirit of perversion that has crept into the body of Christ that is causing us to live perverted lifestyles. And we think that because of his grace and mercy that we can do everything. So that means that my spirit man has been born again. Not if we're in religion.
And many times you got to deal with these weeds that are coming in your life. I've said that once, and I was talking to, you know, we got to deal with these things that come in our life early on. But so longer we allow this to truly stay in our lives, it's just like it's going to take a deep root, Bishop. And it's hard.
What you hang around.
Yes, you're going to become.
Become part of. You cannot play with, listen, as cute as little puppies are, if they got fleas, they're going to get on you.
You're going to get them.
If you hang around weak people, you're going to be weak.
Exactly.
If you hang around excuse-oriented people to live sinful lifestyles and try to cover it up with God is forgiving, you're going to be weak.
Amen.
Now, why do you think Paul said, I have fought a good fight?
Yes.
I kept the faith. Well, Bishop, Paul even said, Paul had sin in his life. Show me that in the Bible. It's not there. Your misinterpretation of thinking Paul had sin in his life when he said, the evil that I would not do, that I do. It was evil for Paul to get angry at his brothers and not preach the gospel to them. It was evil for Paul to turn John Mark away because Barnabas wanted to take them on a ministerial trip, and he said, no, we ain't taking him. That was evil. But he was not living a sinful life. You see, when we mistake and distort the scriptures, we start leaning on our own understanding, and we bring perversion, and we try to water it down for our own sinful lifestyle.
And Bishop, and many times they'll get angry with you for delivering the message to them. And it's the same way, as I said, you know, just like a mailman bringing you your bill. You're going to shoot him for bringing the bill? Amen. And that's the same thing for a man and woman of God. He wants us to deliver the mail, but he wants us to tell the people the truth. And we have to live, too. Amen, that way. So
listen,
many times it's a lot of people
look,
telling the truth.
Every
while you're living the truth.
Man out there under the sound of my voice. Every woman out there under the sound of my voice, everything that you needed to come into maturity, God placed it in there. Listen, for you men, he put the testosterone, and for you women, he put the estrogen inside of you so that it would mature at the right time And in many cases, many of us have matured before the limitations that people try to put on us. Well, most boys come into maturity by the time that they're this age, and they come into full maturity because they statistically try to put you in a box with everybody else. But the truth of the matter is there are some girls that have been mature as far as monthly cycles as early as 7 years of age because God has uniquely made us. But he still put the components that were needed for her to function. Now, it was not meant for her to function as a woman. He just put it in there. Don't you think God's going to put inside of you what it takes to mature as a Christian? But it takes sound doctrine and teaching to bring it out. This is why we teach our little girls not to go out and to become promiscuous. This is why we teach our boys not to go out and become promiscuous. Why? Because the lateness of the hour has greatly changed. What you and I were able to go out there, Minister Mildred, and go to the health department and get a shot for to get rid of the little, the syphilis and the gonorrhea. Now you're walking on death row with HIV. You see, we have to be held accountable for the times now that we're living in. Yes, God's grace and mercy is still there. But there have been people out there that experimented with sexuality just one time.
All it takes, Bishop.
One time, and now they're walking on death row.
And that's why.
Just one time, and now they have chlamydia. They have herpes that will never go away. Genital warts that will never go away because one time. Where was the grace and mercy? Do y'all see why we have to tell people the truth? Why we have to adamantly let them know. And what did you say, Minister Miller?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I said many times it is the crowd, it is the people that you hang around. And that's how, you know, the difference of you becoming a strong Christian or staying a weak Christian. Amen. Because some folks, you just have to let go without even waving at them or saying goodbye. You just got to let these feet do the talking. Amen. Because they're going to get you in a place that you don't want to be. Amen. You don't want to go to hell. Well, nobody should want to go to hell. And that's why we're praying, God, Lord, get the people attention. Because in this last day, everybody's saying they're going to heaven. Everybody that died, you're saying rest in peace. And if you haven't made your decision while you're alive, how are you going to rest in peace there and you didn't do the right thing here? You can't. So you got to let the people know the truth. If you die without Jesus in your life, in your heart, living for him, amen, sold out to the things of God, amen. Hell, would you lift your eyes?
Now, I want to clarify something with you on that because there are a lot of people dying in sin saying they got Jesus.
Yes, indeed. A lot of them dying in sin saying they got Jesus. But we got to know that we have the Lord Jesus. And if you got the Lord Jesus, you're not dying in sin. You're dying in victory. Praise God. Because you're living a life that's pleasing to him. You're living a life. Hallelujah. You don't want no more of the devil's goodies. Amen. You refuse his goodies because his goodies really not good. It appears to be good, but he's evil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'd rather have that. I don't know about nobody else, but the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Eternal, heavenly, every day. Howdy, howdy. Never goodbye. Praise God. That sounds better than weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there'll be torment day in and day out. My God, I don't want my enemy to go there. But I'm telling you, you have that choice today to live totally sold out to the things of the Lord. He's willing that none perish, that all come to repentance.
Now, and I'm glad you said that, because there has been such a distortion that's going on in the body of Christ until, and what I'm trying to share with you all, this ain't about no holier than thou lifestyle. This is not about, because you can put on a show. We were at church Sunday, and a gentleman came, and I'm going to show you how the Lord is confirming the truth of what his word is saying. He came to church, and we were telling him about the Lord. He said, Pastor, can I just say this? He said, now, I can come to church. I can give my tithe. I can give my offering. I can carry the Bible. I can do all of those. He said, but if I don't obey God's word, he said, all I'm doing is just going through the ritual. Same thing I've been preaching. He ain't never been to my service.
Nope.
Never. Don't even know how I preach. don't know what I share, but I'm here to tell you God is getting the truth. He said, Pastor, we just can't come to church and just give our tithe and offering and just think we can live what we want to and do how we want to do. And I looked at him and says, I says, do you have my services tapped or something? Or you got some kind of listening devices where you got us bugged or whatever? He said, no, sir. But he said, I know. He says, I know I got to do right. He says, I'm hard-headed. And I know that he says, I can do all of these things. I can come to church. I can bring my Bible. He said, but if I don't obey God's heart word from my heart,
yes.
He said, that don't mean nothing. Tithe, offering, all that stuff don't mean nothing. Yet we live in a society where man just saying, just bring your tithe, just bring your offering,
and
God gonna take care of it. Not so.
My God.
Not so. There's very few preachers that'll stand up and say, look, I don't want your tithe. I don't want your offering if your heart ain't really in it. Because God, if God ain't in it, but man will still take it.
Jesus.
It's very few that are committed to the truth. Minister Miller, what is a 1, a 3, and verse 7 to 10 say? Because people that just think, well, you know, we serve a forgiving God and we love a forgiving God. And we do. 1 John 3, verses 7 through 10.
Little children, let no man deceive you.
Did you hear Minister Miller say, listen, don't let no pastor, don't let no minister. I know we're living in that age of deception now. We're in that age. We're in the age of deception. What did Jesus say? And he said this. And through the mouth of the beloved apostle, he said, because they would rather believe a lie than the truth, strong delusion. We're in the delusion period where people just say, well, you know what? If you sin, just, well, wait a minute. Would you tell your child that? If you go out there and just go out there and offer your body to some man, just go out and God's going to forgive you. And well, you wouldn't tell him that. You would tell your sons and daughters, no, you can stay pure. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Sheila Max from North Carolina.
Sheila Max from North Carolina?
Yes.
God bless you, Sheila. What can we pray with you about today?
Well, one thing's healed. I was diagnosed with diabetes last week.
Uh-huh.
And strength in the Lord.
That
I definitely need.
Okay. You were diagnosed with diabetes?
Last week, yes, sir. And strength in the Lord.
Okay.
And I had been going through some things with my daughter. And later they would call me, and but I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I forgave him because he had hurt my child.
Mm-hmm.
And I let hate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Get it slip into my heart, and but I have forgiven him, and you know, and I'm asking God, you know, just give me strength, you know, to keep going,
because
it's something I had never had to deal with, and it just overwhelmed me, you know, just see my child go through what she went through with.
Mm-hmm. I'm going a little deeper. Was your child molested?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I kind of feel that. Yeah, when you said they hurt your child. And every parent's child is dear to them.
That's right.
Every parent's child. And you know what? When you said that you were diagnosed with diabetes, and you had never had diabetes before, right?
No, sir, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. And you know what happened? To compensate for the hurt, you started eating a lot of foods that were more detrimental for your health. But you did say something that just caused my heart to leap. You said, I forgave. And since you said I forgave them, you're going to see the diabetes kind of going away too, because now you're able to go back to a healthier lifestyle of eating and to stop eating all of the foods that have been helped to create the diabetes. And you're going to see a turnaround.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You're going to see that.
Jesus.
Yes, you're going to see a turnaround that God,
bless you.
Amen.
And,
thank you,
Jesus. And I got feeling depression because I didn't think, you know, there was something in the world could move me from the Lord. And I had never had to battle nothing like that.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, dealing with that because,
yes.
You know, hurt, you know, that I let God down like that, you know,
because
He's brought me through so much before that.
Yes.
And so many times, you know, through these car wrecks, you know, I didn't supposed to be here, and He brought the breath of life back into me and gave me a chance.
Yes.
And I just, you know, let Him down, and I'm dealing with that right now, too.
Well, let me put it to you like this.
I know He's a merciful God, and I know He's forgiven.
That's right. I was just going to tell you that. Amen. He never left you. Yeah, you might have sidetracked, but you know what? He was just like the prodigal son's father. He was waiting for you to return.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And when you return and said, Daddy, I'm coming back home where I know I belong.
Hallelujah.
I know I've made some wrong choices, Daddy, but listen, I love you. And I know, Daddy, if you take me back, I want to get rid of my sinful ways. I want to get rid of anything that's not like you. And, Lord, I want to live for you.
Yes.
My whole heart, my whole life,
Hallelujah.
I want to surrender it all to you. See, that's the key. When you say, I surrender, I give, I often tease with the little kids to get a better analogy, and I ask them about when they're wrestling. I say, when the man got them in a hold and they squeezing them till they can't take it no more, I say, what do they do to get loose? They say, they tap out. Well, guess what? My sister, if you tap out right now and just say, Lord, I give it to you. I surrender. I give. I surrender.
Yeah.
And you tap out and give it to the Lord, you're going to see change start to take place.
Yes, Lord. Every time.
Hallelujah.
Every time.
But I feel right now to pray for your child. Has your child been getting counseling?
I'm going to start on it within next week.
All right, because I know that the baby needs counseling.
Yes, Lord.
The child certainly needs counseling. And we want to pray a hedge of protection, and we want to cast out the spirit of duplicating upon the child. You know, a lot of times we go through the natural regiments, but something of a spiritual nature has taken on too. The child has been opened up to something demonic that they don't even know about.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, she's battling that, and I'm asking God, you know, to help me where I can pray for her. You know, just make me songs of God because I need to pray with her.
Yes.
She's going through so much, trying to get my child to eat.
Yeah.
Cause she's 14.
Yes.
And I said that I'm not going to put on no medication because I know God could deliver her from that.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm just trusting the Lord. You know, she's not going to have to go on the meds.
Yes,
Lord. Might never know depression because God could deliver her from that.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. You're absolutely correct. There's no depression that God can't deal with.
Hallelujah.
If people just had that same faith that you're speaking right now, amen, we would have a lot of people because a lot of time the meds are supposed to be short-term, but they ended up being long-term. And then the children just be zombied out.
It's not poison, and I'm not giving it to her.
Amen.
So I know what God can do because he brought me from that years and years ago.
Amen.
I know what he can do.
Amen.
I know what God can do. I was, say, about 6 years ago, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was there. I had been doing like that. I was there. I was on all, everything there was to be that I was on.
My God.
And he delivered me, shut the door, he delivered me from all of that. I'm in drugs. I'm in pills. I mean, I was so in such a bad shape. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't cook. I couldn't clean up.
My God.
He delivered me from all of that. He brought me through so much.
Thank you.
I know he can do it for my child.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to pray with you right now, Mother. We're going to touch and agree with you right now.
Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, God, we thank you for this mother here.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, that her concern about her daughter. Hallelujah. Even herself, Lord. We're coming against what Satan has done. We're casting down the stronghold of lies and everything that he put in her mind, Lord God, through the molestation. We know, God, that you're the God that can deliver. We know, Lord God, you are the God that will deliver, will set free in the name of Jesus, will heal this young lady, 14 years of age. We know, God, we trust you in the mighty name of Jesus. We even touch this mother right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we're praying, God, that you will bless her to continue to stand in the gap with her daughter.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
That no weapon that formed against them shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, that this daughter is made whole.
In the name of
Jesus. That this daughter is healed. That this daughter will, hallelujah, be used of you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus.
And
even though, God, you can erase the memory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
What this has done.
Thank you,
because
Jesus.
You're the God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You,
that can do all things.
Thank you,
and you
Jesus.
Continue to do all things.
Thank
in
you,
the
Lord.
Name of Jesus. And
thank
we thank you,
Jesus.
God. And we praise you.
Thank you,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Beloved, listen. We're going to stand and agree with you that this is done. And we want you to call us back with the praise report. We're here every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Yeah. Where are you calling from again?
Mike's in North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay, so you're on the Eastern time. So that'll be like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock your time. We want you to call us back in the future to let us know how daughter's doing, okay?
Yes, sir. And pray for my son. He just turned 14, and you call his name out to the Lord. His name is Nicholas.
Nicholas. All right, mother.
Definitely.
We're going to call your whole family.
I have a little problems with him dealing with, you know, but God's in control.
That's right.
Just remember him, too. Nicholas.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're going to keep
the
hope.
I've got a four-year-old that I'm going to adopt because his mom's in prison, and he, you know, how a child is, you know, they're acting out. Mm-hmm. And I'm having he's four.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm fixing to adopt him. I'm having him since he's been 2 months old, though.
Okay. Well, we want to pray for your strength, too.
His name
and her healing of the diabetes. Yes, yeah. We're going to lift you up continuously. But we know that the God that's able to.
Amen. All right, beloved.
All right,
we love you. God bless you. All right?
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
All right. Yes, we're living in the time where people are going through. This is the reason why the sincerity and the honesty of letting people know what God can do and what he still is doing.
I like what you said,
in this time.
According to those meds, that she don't want her daughter on that, and we're believing God to even
because she said she was on it herself.
Exactly, and
said she couldn't function.
It couldn't even function.
She said she couldn't cook, she couldn't clean.
Like a zombie.
That stuff, the zombies. It's designed to zombie you out. And so, and listen, we're not going to turn this into calling in. Well, I was on meds, Bishop, and they can. This is not even about that. We're not even having a debate about meds today. We're speaking today about the delivering power of Jesus Christ and how important it is for us to line up. You know, one of the things that she said is that, you know, she kind of went back on the Lord. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the way of a transgressor
is hard.
It's not designed for you to prosper out there, especially if you know the Lord. Listen, you just like the mafia. You know too much. They ain't going to let you out. Jesus ain't going to let you just leave out of this thing and act like everything's just perfect. Now, Satan will. He'll make seems think like, well, when I left the church, everything started going good. That was just to bait you and to keep you out there. But you know what? He's just like a wicked fisherman who plays with the fish and let them think that they're getting away. He'll reel them in, and then he'll let them go some more, and then he'll reel them back in so far, and then he'll let. And then finally, when he gets tired of playing with them, he just reel them in and just put them on the fire and cook them. And that's the way the enemy does. So we want to let you all know that, listen, but we're in the closeness of the hour where we've got to make God's people aware of what the enemy, and he's not playing fair. He's not playing fair. See, what people don't understand is this. Minister Miller, they don't understand. And the devil tells them this, that, well, if you do sin, just ask God to forgive you, and he will. But here's what you're not understanding. What if Satan kills you while you're committing the sin?
And not only that, Bishop.
Now, where is the forgiveness?
Yes, yes.
Well, where is it? Huh? Where is it? You slip into adultery, and he kills you in the adultery. You slip into fornication. Listen, you slip into getting you some cocaine or some heroin or whatever, whatever, and then he kills you in that. Ain't no purgatory thing.
It's
either
so
you're saved or you're not.
And it's so true, Bishop.
Well, Bishop, my spirit man is saved. Okay, Minister Mildred. Come on, read for us before the calls come back.
I just wanted to say, you know, a lot of times we got to stop consecrating, you know, on the one that has hurt us. You know, and many times we know that people out there hurt us. We got to start consecrating on the one that can heal us. And Jesus is the one that can heal us. Amen. If we use all that time thinking about how that I was hurt, how the church hurt me, how this one hurt me, how that one hurt me. But there's a big God willing and able to heal you. Amen. And that's the encouragement I would like to leave with some today that have been hurt. But look, God can heal you and forget about the hurts. Amen. You can't concentrate on that and be healed at the same time. You got to let that go and allow God to do the healing. The scab to come, you know, it's just getting a scab on a wound. It's not the answer. God wants to come in and heal from the inside out. Praise God. And there's a lot of hurting people that need to let go of what Uncle Joe did. And grandpa this, and Auntie Rue, and, you know, a sister Snotgrass, a brother, a pastor this and that. You know, you need healing. So the only way you get healed, you're going to have to let go of the memories and the pain of it. Because the more you think about it, you're going to be pain. You're going to just, it's nothing good in it. You're going to feel bad. You're going to feel hurt, rejected, depression.
And then not only that, Minister Mildred, you're going to lash out at people that don't deserve that bitterness that you're lashing out, that you're trying to take them through. I know cases where children who were brought up in religious homes, they were brought up in religious factors. And so, you know what? They weren't able to go to the proms. They weren't able to go to the different things because of the religious virtues that they were taught as children. And right today, these children have held all that anger and animosity. Yes, they've got married. They've started their own families. But a lot of this anger and animosity is projected toward other loved ones. I know children now that are taking these things out on their parents in their elder age because when I was young, you didn't let me go to the prom. They're holding all of this stuff from back in the day, and it has become very detrimental. And so, again, it's one thing to say forgiveness, but it's another thing to truly live it, because if people aren't taught how to live this thing, they say, oh, I forgive you, but they're still directing that anger.
Because they haven't learned how to release it. And more you think about these people that hurt you and did harm to you, the more you're going to go around. You can't receive the total healing God wants to give you because you're not willing to let go of that. That's your way of punishing them in your own way. But God is saying we got to forgive them. And by forgiving them, we really have to say, Lord, even take the painful memories around. We're not saying that these things didn't hurt you. Sure they did. We have a lot of pain that was inflicted upon us in our past, but we have to learn to forgive. Amen. And I don't know why you get back to forgiveness, but because God is saying that's the only way.
Amen. Going to go back to the prayer line. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from at this time?
Yes, sir. Bishop Townsend and Minister Mildred, every Saturday, this same time and this same hour, you give us those great moments of inspiration there.
We shall try.
Your God, guns and gold man, your Bible bullets and beans man, telling everybody to get ready.
Wow. No, he's free.
You must have had a bowl of cornflakes this morning, Tony Tiger, huh?
Sound like Tony.
Yeah, you must have had a bowl of them sugar frosted flakes.
Ladies and gentlemen, just like you say, it's later than you think, but it's still not too late to turn to Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. And we all need to turn to Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Have mercy.
While the blood is running around in your veins.
Yeah, but that last lady that called, boy, that was a heart-wrenching story right there.
Yeah.
You know, we've been having a whole lot of trouble here in Ellick, and like
yes,
you
sir.
Said, dead bodies burning, and
yes.
the poor lady was stabbed to death and
yes.
ran over.
Yes.
So
yes.
a whole
yes.
lot of darkness has come across
yes.
Alexander and the Rapides area, and we just got to pray for each other. And like you said, it's not a white church or a black
no.
church or a Korean church.
No.
It's Jesus Christ
yes.
church.
Yes.
And we all need to unite.
Yes.
Whether
yes.
we be white, black, yellow, or green,
yes.
it doesn't matter.
Yes. I think I'm going to have an all-nations meeting for church. You know, Bible Beans and Bullet, I definitely want you there.
Oh, yeah, I know.
when I get ready to have this meeting, an all-nations meeting, I definitely want Bible Beans and Bullets there so I can introduce you to everybody that want to know who is this God Gold Guns man.
I hear you, Bishop Townsend. But I tell you what, if y'all really want to meet two Jesus Christ people right here is that Bishop Townsend and Minister Mildred. My God, you've been a blessing to this area, and like I said, a whole lot of people would be in darkness if you hadn't come here, and thank the Lord you landed right here, you and your beautiful wife and everything. Y'all landed right here in Alexandria, and Alexandria needed y'all. But like I said, everybody just needs to get ready, pray up, and pack up. Because we're all going up, and hopefully we're all going to heaven and not going down to hell.
That's right.
But
well, I hate to bust your bubble. We ain't all going.
We ain't all going.
I know it hurts, but I got
to
tell the truth.
According to the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
But Bishop Townsend and Minister Mildred, some people have sold their souls to the devil. I believe like
yes.
the guy in Las Vegas. He just sold his soul to the devil and just said, well, you can kill as many as you want. And he never lost. I don't know if y'all knew this, but every time he gambled, he'd won every time.
Mm.
He never lost.
Yeah, he was professional. So, he was a professional gambler.
Well, but usually you go in them places, you lose and stuff. But like I said, people are selling their souls to the devil. They just entertainers and stuff like that. And
yes, sir.
That's where they're getting some of their success. I'm not saying all, but.
Yeah.
Some of them are selling out to Satan instead of selling out to the Savior and stuff.
Yes, sir. You're right.
But you sell out to the Savior. That's the best money plan you can have. Don't sell out to Satan where you'll end up in hell.
Yes, sir. You're right. You're so right.
And hell was only meant for the devil and his angels, not
that's right.
for us.
That's right.
Hell was never meant for humans and stuff like that.
Humans, souls of men, you're right. It was never meant there. But because of our disobedience. And there's the key word that we're speaking about that we can't get away from. Amen. Jesus tells us if we love him, we can't just draw nigh with our lips. And our heart is far from it. And this is the tool that Satan is using today. Amen. We're seeing so much. I mean, the signs of the times are all around us. It's almost to the point now, Brother Cornelius, where you're almost scared to send your children to school because every time I turn down my feed, some teacher's having sexual romps with the children. And it's not just men. It's more. I've been seeing more women come down the thing whereas they're molesting our sons and our daughters. Yeah. Women molesting other girls. And it used to be a thing where it was just a man thing. But I know that because women outnumber men, it's probably a bigger margin of women doing it. Because, see, you know what I know? Satan's an equal opportunist.
And it's really, he don't care what gender.
He don't care.
He just want his plan. You know,
I even seen where there was a 70-year-old pastor.
Yeah.
70-year-old pastor molesting a little 3-year-old child. Listen, if we don't see the signs of the times, y'all, we got to see the signs of the times. This is why we preach the way we preach and teach. This thing ain't about no honky-dory, how much blessing we going to get children of Abraham thing. Jesus is getting ready to come. And he said that, listen, he's separating the tare from the wheat. You got to decide, am I going to be a tare? Am I going to be a wheat? Because you know what? If I can be honest, the tare represent those that have fallen into a lukewarm state of salvation.
Mm. And the sheep and the goats. So I'd better be one of them dumb sheep and follow Jesus than the old goats.
That's where I am. One of those sheep. You can call them what you want to.
Amen.
But God bless y'all.
God bless you,
love you out here.
Love you.
Love you too.
Like I said, those callers that call in each week and poor lady from North Carolina, give them a blessing.
Keep her in your prayers too.
I'm glad you asked for praise reports and stuff.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So God bless y'all and y'all have a blessed day now.
You too.
All right,
God bless you.
All right.
And you know her, she said her son Nicholas Bishop.
And listen, I want to share this with all of our listeners out there too. We have prayer at the church every day at 12 o'clock.
Yes, Lord.
Those of you that are going through, come on out to prayer. Prayer doesn't change something. Prayer changes all things.
Everything.
Amen. You know, a lot of time you say, well, I ain't got no church clothes. Listen, you ain't got to get dressed up. Come on out. This is about your soul. Amen. Jesus does the dressing up. But just come on out. We have prayer every day at 12 o'clock, 1400 College Drive. Come on out. We would love to have you come out and pray with you. Amen. Those of you that are bound by witchcraft and sorcery, no, you don't have to send us no $1,000 or $1,500. We'll pray with you. Amen. We will cast down the unfruitful works of darkness off of your life. Yes, many of you are going through horrific things in your life. Amen. Yeah, you're hearing voices and, amen, things are bumping around in the house and you open yourself up. But listen, come on over. We believe in deliverance. Amen. We believe, amen, in casting off the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. No, and it's not going to cost you $1,099. It's not going to cost you $2,400. It's not going to cost you not one red dime. All it's going to cost you is the atoning blood of Jesus Christ because he paid it all on Calvary. Hallelujah. And I know the soothsayers don't like me to say that. Those that love to milk God's people, they don't love to hear the truth of the matter. But you know what? You know, God's word is true. He loves you. Amen. Jesus cast demonic influence off of people's lives. He did it for me, and he'll do it for you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And that's why we share the word that we share. Yes, the Bible says, amen, that that if you're truly born of the Lord, and now this is a difference. What's going on? A lot of people are being born of religion. And that's why Jesus had to get Nicodemus straight, because Nicodemus didn't understand that. And Jesus had to let him know, say, now, wait a minute, you must be born again. But Nicodemus said, well, what are you talking about? See, that's the difference in religion. See, we go through the ranks of religion, and we don't really get it.
Jesus.
We don't get it. So we go through the ranks of religion, and we say we're born again. We say that, oh, yes, I've accepted Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is, when we truly, really accept Jesus and not religion, the Bible says over there in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, that if we are truly born of God, we cannot sin.
And the word is true.
Uh-huh.
Because living for the Lord, you're going to want to please him.
But see, that's why he said, don't let no man deceive you.
Uh-huh.
Because,
that's
see, there are men out there saying that, yes, we're going to fall into sin from time to time. And these
they
are people saying that to justify their own sinful lifestyle. Can you imagine a preacher that was stood up and say, yes, we're going to pedophile from time to time. Yes, we're going to molest children. I mean, but it's the same thing.
Yes.
We're saying the same thing, only we're trying to wrap it in a different package.
We're going to
homosexualize sometime, but all we got to, ain't no preacher going to get up and preach like that.
No, because that is.
You're going to fall into adultery sometime, but just ask God for the God. Yeah, you're going to molest some children sometime. Not going to get up there and say, do you see how the enemy has fooled people, twisting the word of God so that we could accommodate our own selfish, sinful lust and attitude?
Nothing but the truth.
It's the same thing.
And God is wanting.
If you fall into sin, so if you go around molesting little children, just ask God to forgive you. Listen to what you're saying. If you go around raping people, just ask God to forgive you. Listen to what you're saying.
Going around shooting up a whole.
If you go around killing folk, just ask God to forgive you. And because we have an advocate in the Lord. And so listen how the enemy is taking the word, twisting it, and perverting it. That's why I wanted Minister Milton to share that scripture, because it tells the truth of what God's words say. That let no man
deceive. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God.
See, you didn't repeat just a prayer that I told you to say. When you're truly born of God, a change takes place. It don't matter if you're in the apostolic church. You can still be born of man.
Come on, preacher.
It don't matter if you're in the Pentecostal church, the church of God in Christ. You can still be born of man. Amen. Let me tell you, we're in an age now where folk can just sit around and listen and copy somebody's tongue, and they'll tell you, that's it, that's it, that's it. But how you live has more impact on your life than that tongue that you speak.
Come on, preacher.
I know somebody going to get mad, but I believe in telling
always.
The truth. Amen. Because I've seen some folk ain't spoken a tongue, but they living more godly, more holy than any so-called tongue-talking person that ever existed. So it ain't about the tongue that you speak in. It's about the obedience.
Woo, Jesus. Somebody ought to hear the truth.
You
today.
Can speak in tongue, but baby, if you ain't obedient to this word, I don't care.
And
amen. I was listening
I
to one pastor, and I said,
but
now, you know, this ain't nothing but demonic. And they were praising the Lord, and she was telling the people, let me hear your tongues. I want to hear your tongue. Baby, it ain't for you to hear.
It's God.
The Bible said he that's speaking the unknown tongue ain't speaking to you, pastor. It's speaking to God. We see how messed up we done got. Let me hear your tongues. I want to
You're
hear
not
your tongue. Wait
I mean,
a minute. You ain't
Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And listen here. If I do speak in a tongue, I want God to help me to interpret it so my fruitfulness will be, my understanding will be fruitful. Unless I'm just talking to God.
Yes.
But if I'm in that congregation and I'm rattling off in tongues, he need to give me the interpretation so the congregation can be beneficial
in
that thing. Amen. See, that's why we got to get back to the truth of God's word.
But God's word is just true.
It is true.
Amen.
Hey, listen, y'all. We got to go. Brothers and sisters behind prison bars, we love you.
We love you.
Amen. Sinlaw, listen, we love you.
Yes, Lord.
Pineville, Alexandria, we love you. Going to be around the station. And if you still like to call in for prayer, you can do that. Minister Milton, anything else?
Amen. We meet you tomorrow at 9:30 at the Hilltop. I don't know the address.
Hilltop right on Edgewood Drive off of Highway 28 on the right-hand side, like you're going back toward Military Highway up that way. Come on back that way. All right, God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellyServiceHouston.com. Kelly Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced to tell you that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kelly Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.